The Ghost by Robert Harris, retold by John Escott. Published by Macmillan Education, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited, 2012. Chapter 1. The Body on the Beach. When I heard how Makara died, I should have said no to Rick. But Rick, who's my agent, is a good storyteller. I often think he should be the writer and me the agent. The story he told me over lunch that day went like this. 2 Sundays earlier, the 12th of January, a man called Michael Makara had been on the last ferry of the day from Woods Hole, Massachusetts, to Martha's Vineyard. There was a strong wind when the ferry left at 9:45 p.m. and the boat was crowded. Makara parked his car below decks and then went upstairs. No one saw him alive again. The journey to the island usually takes 45 minutes, but that night, because of the bad weather, it was nearly 11 o'clock before the ferry reached Vineyard Haven. When the driver of a new Ford Escape SUV did not come to take it off the boat, some of the crew pushed the car onto the dock and then began a search for the driver. They did not find anyone. A police check showed that the brown Ford Escape belonged to Martin S. Reinhardt of New York City, a well-known publisher. However, when the police telephoned Mr. Reinhardt, he was safe in California. He said that he kept the car at his holiday home on Martha's Vineyard for himself and his guests to use. He told the police that several people were staying there at the moment. After telephoning the house, Reinhardt said that someone was missing. A man called Michael Makara. The next morning, a woman found Makara's body on a beach about 6 kilometers to the west at Lambert's Cove. The police took it to the little morgue in Vineyard Haven and then drove to Reinhardt's house to give the guests the news and to ask someone to come and identify the body. That someone arrived at the morgue in a police car, followed by a second car with 4 armed guards. Until 18 months earlier, he had been the Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. He was Adam Lang. The lunch that day was Rick's idea. He'd phoned me the night before. "I'm surprised it hasn't been in the newspapers," I said, when we'd finished eating. "It has," he said. Perhaps I had seen something, but I'd been busy working 15 hours a day for a month to finish my new book, the autobiography of a famous footballer. "Why did an ex-prime minister identify the body?" I asked. "Michael Makara," said Rick, looking straight into my eyes, "was helping him write his memoirs. And this is where I should have left him sitting at the table and walked out into the London street with the rest of my life safely ahead of me. Instead, I said, I don't know anything about politics. Adam Lang needs a professional ghostwriter like you, not another politician," said Rick. "Reinhardt paid $10 million for these memoirs for 2 reasons. One, he wants the book finished and in the bookshops within 2 years. 2, he expects Lang to tell everything about the war on terror. At the moment, he's not getting either. Things got so bad around Christmas that Reinhardt let Lang and Makara use his house in Martha's Vineyard so that they could work without interruptions. But Makara must have been feeling the pressure. They found a lot of alcohol in his body." "So was his death an accident?" I asked.
"An accident? Suicide? It doesn't matter," said Rick.
"He worked with Lang when Lang was Prime Minister. He did research and wrote Lang's speeches, and when Lang resigned, Makara continued to work with him." Rick finished his coffee, then went on. "Reinhardt's company is worried. They're holding a meeting tomorrow to choose a new writer. John Maddox, chief executive of Reinhardt Publishing, is flying over from New York. Lang's sending Sidney Kroll, his lawyer. There are going to be interviews.
I'm not sure about this, I said. I've got other writers that I could suggest, but you're the best for this job, said Rick.
Me? But this isn't my usual kind of writing job, I said.
The money will be good, said Rick. The kids won't starve.
I don't have any kids, I reminded him.
He smiled. I do, he said.
After leaving Rick, I went into the nearest bookshop and was surprised by how many books there were about Adam Lang. I bought several for research, then left the shop. The moment I got outside, I realized that a bomb had gone off. People were hurrying from the Underground Railway Station at Tottenham Court Road. In a nearby shop window, televisions were showing a picture of black smoke coming from the underground station at Oxford Circus. Words running along the bottom of the screens said that a suicide bomber was suspected. It took me 2 hours to walk home. All the underground stations were closed and no buses or taxis were moving. It was 6 o'clock when I reached my flat in Notting Hill. Kate had already arrived and was watching the news on TV. I had forgotten that she was coming for the evening. She was my girlfriend, lover. I've never known what to call her. I kissed the top of her head, dropped the books on the sofa, and went into the kitchen to get myself a drink. When I went back into the living room, she was removing the books from the bag.
What are all these? She said, looking up at me. You're not interested in politics.
And then she guessed, because she was clever and she knew I had just had a meeting with my agent.
They want you to ghost his book.
It probably won't happen, I said. She hated Lang. I knew that.
But if they offer you the job, will you do it?
Before I could answer, there was a picture of Adam Lang on the TV speaking from New York about the bomb attack in London.
What's he doing in New York?
Kate asked, her arms tightly folded across her chest.
Lecturing? I said.
So he travels abroad and drives around in a bomb-proof car with armed bodyguards, making lots of money from lecturing, she said, while the rest of us are left here to be attacked by terrorists.
And all because of the stupid decisions he made when he was Prime Minister.
She looked at me angrily.
I don't understand you. All the things I've said about him over the past few years, war criminal and the rest of it, and you agreed. Now you're going to write his book and make him even richer.
She got up and went into the bedroom to get the bag she brought on the nights she planned to stay. I heard her filling it noisily with her things. I could have gone in and talked to her, but I didn't. I continued to stare at the TV. Minutes later, she was gone.